today about colors, colors in church. And I'm certainly talking to the Sunday school, but I'm also talking to the adults as well, all of you who are here. We're in the season of Advent, and the banners that the kids are carrying are purple, mostly purple. The robes that I'm wearing are purple, and most of the candles on the Advent wreath are purple. Purple is a color that we use in church for seasons of preparation. Advent is a time when we're getting ready for Christmas. We're preparing for Christmas. And purple is the color in the church, at least in the past, that we've used for seasons of preparation, both Advent and Lent, which is the season when we prepare for Easter. Purple also, historically, has been a rather serious or somber color. It is royal, but it also has been penitential. Part of our preparation has been to examine our lives and our hearts and our souls and see how we need to prepare for Jesus' coming or for Jesus' resurrection. So purple is a serious color, a color for preparation, but also kind of a somber color. But what color is the candle that we lit today? Kind of pale. What color is that? It looks white, doesn't it? But it's actually a very light pink. It looks white. There's a tradition in the church on the third Sunday of Advent of lighting a pink candle. Some churches even have rose-colored vestments for the third Sunday of Advent. Most churches don't. But we light that pink candle. And pink, at least in the church, when we light this rose-colored candle, it's meant to tell us about joy. Not so much serious preparation, but it's supposed to be a brighter, cheerful color that reminds us that this season is also about joy. It's about looking forward joyfully to Jesus coming. The Latin word for this Sunday is called Gaudete Sunday, which strictly, as I understand it, is translated rejoice. It's a Sunday to rejoice. But it's also our English word, gaudy. It reminds us that this season, what we're looking forward to is just a fun, joyful, jubilant, gaudy time. So, even though we're in Advent, be a little gaudy today and rejoice. Rejoice at the news that Jesus. The passage that we heard appointed for this third Sunday of Advent from the Hebrew Scriptures is certainly one of my favorite passages, the passage from Isaiah. One of many passages from Isaiah that Christians, since Jesus' time, have heard foretelling what Jesus was to bring. And I love the exuberance of this passage as well, where Isaiah says to the people of Israel, not only will the lame walk, they will leap like a deer. And the voices of those who have been silenced will not just carry on a conversation, they will break forth in song. And the desert, the desolation and aridity of the desert, will not only grow, it will become filled with gladness and joy. This prophecy that tells of what is to come, of song and of joy. The context, though, for this particular prophecy is very important. These words were written to the people of Israel at a time in their history which we now call the Babylonian captivity. It was a time when the people of Israel had been been captured and exiled from their homeland. All that was important to them in terms of their identity and their worship life in the temple in Jerusalem, they had been torn away from them. The desert in which they now live is the desert of exile. It is into that context, into that time in their lives of exile, of desolation and despair, that the prophet Isaiah speaks. Speaking to them and to us with the promise of what we are to look forward to. What will come to us, even or perhaps particularly in times of darkness or despair. Given the context in which Isaiah wrote, I certainly interpret these prophetic words as words that are not necessarily to be taken literally. Isaiah speaks of the lame and the blind and the mute, and yet he speaks to people who were speechless with sorrow, whose legs were bound by the captivity of their oppressors, who found themselves in a desert of exile, taken away from their homeland and from the roots that were the core of their identity. It's the voicelessness, the hopelessness, the lameness that they felt was real but metaphorical. It was this same time, the time to which the great Psalms of Lament refer, particularly Psalm 137, where the people of Israel say, "By the waters of Babylon," those are not the waters of their own land, "by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" It is to those people that Isaiah teaches them and us with this rich metaphorical language to look for the coming of God's grace. To look for the coming of grace into the situation in which they found themselves. Isaiah says, no matter where you are, no matter how you may feel yourself silenced or exiled, God will come to you. God will come to you and set you free. God will come to you bringing grace and joy. God will come to you and give you the ability to see and to hear and to sing the wonder of God's love. Yes, Isaiah spoke also to the homecoming that lay ahead for the people of Israel, but Isaiah also spoke of God's grace with them. Come to them, God with them, even when they felt everything had been taken from them. God will come to you and bring grace and bring joy, bring the very presence of God. Isaiah offers this promise in wonderful language and imagery. God will come to you, and the lame will leap like a deer, not just walk. But those who have found themselves spiritually oppressed or handicapped will be transformed so that their souls and hearts will leap with the presence of God. The tongue of the speechless will sing, will find their songs again. The desert of exile, shall be by God's grace a place in which joy. Thank you.
during this Advent season, as we expectantly look forward to Christmas, as we spend this time in hopeful waiting, the words of Isaiah come to us as well, promising all of us that God will come to you. Even, particularly, if you find yourself in a place of exile or desolation in your heart or in your soul, God will come to you. Look for Him. Look for the coming of Emmanuel. Draw close to the manger. Seek in your hearts and in your souls the one who is coming to be born anew in the midst of our very lives, bringing grace and holiness, bringing the very presence of God to be with us in this human world in which we live. Seek Him, look for Him. You can find Him, Emmanuel, coming into your life pretty much anywhere. Perhaps where you would expect to find Him, but also perhaps where you would not. Human experience seems to tell that we find Him most likely, that we recognize Jesus most fully when we look for Him in the quiet and in the lonely places of our lives. That is where He was born so long ago, and it is where we tend to find Him most today. So look for Him in the quiet places. Look for Him in the dark places of your life. Look for Him on the fringes, not among the glitter. Take time during Advent to rest and to look, to see out the one who is seeking you, the one who is coming to be with you, bringing God's grace, bringing the depth of joy and peace and hope that only God can provide in our lives. God comes to you. Comes to us. Look for it. He comes to make the deserts of our lives glad. He comes to inspire our souls with songs of joy and praise. And He comes to make our hearts